Welcome, everybody. I think we've got a good representation. I think we're right to start. I'm going to welcome Keith Whelan to the microphone. Keith is the grants guy, of course, and is very experienced in this field. I really hope you enjoy what he's got to tell us. He'll speak for about 45 minutes and then we'll open up for questions.
Good afternoon, all, and thank you for attending this workshop run by ALA on grants writing. My name is Keith Whelan, aka the Grants Guy, and I work across public and private sector when it comes to grants and what's out there in Australia and further afield as well, and helping organisations apply, assess, review their processes and audit and acquit the service delivery on grants as well, and looking right across the spectrum. So I've been doing this for about 13 years, across obviously from Europe into Australia. And we've sourced about $18 million in grants for organisations that we've worked with basically over those years, both in public sector and private sector. I'm based on the Central Coast in New South Wales, but I work throughout Australia, all states and territories and New Zealand, and now internationally. We were in 9 countries last year doing work on grants, tenders, fundraising, crowdfunding, and other auxiliary income streams for organisations. I'm independent of a funding body, so I'm a consultant for myself, and I work at all tiers of government, as I said, in terms of processes and how they deliver on the grants and how they set up their trusts and foundations, as well as how they can get a quick loan at the end of the day, which we'll talk about throughout the process as well. Time and capacity really is the biggest issue we found when it comes to grants, because we've over $50 billion available in grants. Again, I repeat, $50 billion available in grants across Australia. That's public and private sector. Well, that's about 1,000 grants at last count, basically. They're based on government, community foundations, philanthropic trusts who are dispensing these on an annual basis and certainly in multiple funding rounds over an annual period as well. But most of the applicants that we've worked with over those years have always come back to time and capacity. Time to write the grant and certainly capacity to deliver on the grant as well. Time, how many drafts of the application do you do? I do 4 myself, the first draft being actually orally. I record into my phone with a client, or I'll sit in front of a client and take notes basically of what their general mindset or what they want funding for, and we look at matching the grant to their specific project plan, their capital expenditure, their business plan, their annual report, and identifying the osmosis between what the funding body wants to find out and expend their cash on in terms of a grant and what the actual applicant wants to deliver on at the same time as well. So, and then capacity to deliver on the grant as well. What happens if they actually get the grant? Unfortunately, the one identifiable and the one reliable I can give you today and the one guarantee in terms of grants nearly is rejection. If you're doing well in terms of obtaining 3 or 4 grants out of every 10 applications you put in, you're doing well on an average basis here in Australia. But when you do get the grant, it's about your capacity to deliver it on time, on budget. I want to see return on investment, and I certainly want to see key performance indicators in terms of the grant itself. So time and capacity, who's writing the grant, who's doing the project management, who's having lines of communication within your organization to input all the data. We don't do last minute grant applications because this is what happens, obviously. People are just stuck there in frustration thinking about, oh my God, I have to do everything at the last minute. And those all-nighters ain't going to be productive at the end of the day. And in fact, they're probably the first grant applications to be culled. Having sat on numerous assessment panels myself in public and private sector, they're the ones that we can easily cull because indicatively they show they haven't much worth or value being put into those grants at all. And they really are a begging letter rather than investment. And it is about showing me the money at the end of the day. And that scares us as grant assessors, really. We want to see something that is tangible, and is something we haven't funded before, something that has given us something different to look at, and an opportunity to fund at the end of the day. So we really want to see it as an investment rather than a gift, and we want to have the same business transaction as we would with any other contract of agreement working with you. It just so happens you're expending the money for us, the grants funding body, again, whether it be public or private sector, on time and on budget. So the same issues that you potentially have, as I said in the previous slide, time and capacity, government and the private sector also have as well, which is they'd like to do a lot more, but besides the time and capacity, they can't. So they depend on you to deliver on these projects and work through these projects at the end of the day as well. So really, at the end of the day, we're working off 2 acronyms. Okay, government sector likes to work off VFM, which is value for money, and private sector likes to operate off VFM, what's in it for me. brand integrity, I want brand recognition, and now more than ever before, they want exclusivity. So depending on the amount of money they're giving you on the grant, they want their name brand above that at the end of the day, which is becoming very prevalent now amongst the banks and the insurance sector, certainly in this country as well. Okay, so is this your assessment panel? Potentially it is. We are very black and white about the way we actually mark the grant applications. We only can mark against what we see on the page. So I do want to see clear, concise, compelling, short, succinct, and to the point. I want to see something that's going to have keywords, because I'm doing a keyword search. Yes, certainly you can use italics. Yes, certainly you can use bolding. But preferably you do it in a sporadic basis. I don't want to see the whole document blatantly bolded. I do want to see paragraphs. I do want to see bullet points. I do want to see pieces of information underlined, certainly in terms of supplementary information. So everything else goes into Appendix A. So what's very popular now is infographics. And what's very popular now is corporate videos, 30 seconds to 3 minutes in duration of your project, of your firm, of your business, of your entity, basically. Because at the end of the day, I might know you at all. Certainly this application goes into Macquarie Street for state government applications in New South Wales or further afield into Canberra. You're just application 000353. So it's about creating profile for yourself at the end of the day. Yes, Catherine, it is a frightening photograph. Don't laugh, it's a family photograph. So at the end of the day, the perception of this is twofold with this photograph as well. You can't be seen to be an organization like this. This cannot be a picture of your board or your committee or your management structure at the end of the day. They don't want to see you as dated, redundant. They want to see you as an organization that's innovative and giving them something different to fund that they haven't funded before. And remain conscious and have the mindset basically that when they fund money into you, their mindset is also about creating a wide demographic and a wide geographic for their funding at the end of the day. So they want leveraging off the funding that they put into your area. So it's not about what your organization wants, it's what your customers want or what your actual general populace in the area want to support your argument. And you put that together in letters of reference in appendices as well. So as I said, about $50 billion available across public and private sector, over 1,000 grants coming from government, community foundations, philanthropic trusts. But saying that, indicatively, they like to see other funding that you've capitalized on. Remember, grants is only a slice of the pie, a slice of the funding pie. So they see it as supplementary funding on top of what you're doing to garner revenue for your organization or your project at the end of the day. So they're expecting you to be fundraising. They're expecting you to be going through crowdfunding, venture capital, angel investors, stakeholders, shareholders, and sourcing revenue streams and alternative revenue streams from other funding sources, either confirmed or pending. So the grant is not there to substantiate the running of your organization. In fact, it's one of the things they don't like funding, including wages, transport, infrastructure, basically, and otherwise, unless otherwise decreed. So at the end of the day, it's very much basically about that you have an argument there for a grant application on top of what you already have. So indicative of that is your budget. And in your budget, obviously, you're going to be putting in-kind support. What cost and value you're putting to your volunteers, what cost and value you're putting to resources that you're putting in, and what dollar value is appropriated to that. So for a lot of community organizations, they have a volunteer base. And volunteers now are quantified by Volunteering Australia at an hourly rate of $31 an hour. So you would put in that $31 an hour as in-kind support in your budget and be able to put that in as a line item at the end of the day, indicatively showing your contribution to this. So it's not necessarily a monetary contribution, but it's certainly an in-kind contribution. And if you can put in a monetary contribution to supplement that as well, indicatively, it would go a long way in the mindset of the grants assessor that you have proficiency to carry out this project. And at the end of the day, that's my biggest concern when I mark grants or we're dispensing grants. Does this organization have the professional proficiency, the equipment, the resources, the staff, the time to deliver on these projects? And they have the historical value and trust to do so. Grants is about runs on the board. It's about being able to trust you with a financial investment. So at the end of the day, you have to prove that. There has to be a narrative in your grant application, certainly like telling a story to a degree, about having a beginning, middle, and end to your project. But certainly preempting writing a grant application, they look for three predominant documents, which I've mentioned before and I'll repeat again. They look for a copy of your project plan, your business plan, and your capital expenditure. Your business plan can also be substituted by your annual report. They're expecting you to extrapolate information out of those documents to actually populate the answers of the grant application itself, rather than writing the grant application straight off the bat. First time you've looked at it, first time conceptualized the project, first time you think about, right, there's a grant out there, let's go for it. Don't know what we want the money for, but let's just apply for it anyway. And that would be detrimental if you do it in that fashion. Certainly they're expecting now that you have a statement of need compiled and a methodology and understanding that you've cultivated a mindset for yourself that this is the best application for you in terms of best fit for your organization. And certainly, do you even have a grants calendar indicatively showing you what are the top 10 grants that you should be applying for and aligning with in a calendar year? And that's the most astute decision you can make as an organization, is having a grants calendar of the public and private sector of what's available to you out there that you can apply for and concentrate your work, and more importantly, as we said, your time, to be able to apply for those grants right across the board. So have a grant calendar, which has numerous resources out there. So you have certainly the philanthropic sector, our community, Philanthropy Australia, Pro Bono Australia, and certainly in the federal sector or federal government, we have GrantsLink. And then you think of any respective state government body, at any state government or territory government, they have respective grant sections. So it could be business, it could be sports, it could be education, it could be health, it could be tourism. They all have relevant grants out there for you. And then the private sector, well, it's endless. You name a company in Australia, they have a trust or a foundation at the end of the day. Coles, Woolies, Holden, even the overseas ones, Toyota, they all have community funding available here to different varying amounts, obviously. All right? We have even private foundations, well-known entities here in Australia, the Packer Foundation, for instance, who give out $2 million per year, $1 million for Indigenous Australia and $1 million for education projects as well. So it's knowing is a big reason about going forward in moving forward on grants, basically. So knowledge is power, and understanding that you need the calendar and then working off those calendar of what's best fit for you at the end of the day. Okay. I dealt with 27 organizations last year in 2015 that actually handed their grants back, which is a shocking indictment on them and on the process itself, whereby obviously it's going to perpetuate and they're not going to get those grants in the future because their name and reputation is tarnished for not being able to deliver those grants. So it's rationalizing, having a plan and thinking about, well, what happens if we actually get the grant? Do we have the capacity to deliver on this at the end of the day? And is it something we can move forward on? Because certainly now key to the private trusts and foundations is the word relationship. They want a tangible relationship with you moving forward because they want to see other ways they can work with you as well, through their staff, through alternative community funding, through participation with your board, whatever it may be. They're looking to create a relationship with you. And certainly government in Australia are looking to do the same now across local, state and federal government as well. So it's very much about business development. It's very much about brokerage and advocacy. It's very much about people can only help you if they know you exist. So with a grant application, it's very important to perceive it like a job application. In that case, you're selling yourself as the best potential employee or prospective employee, and you should get the job. It's the same with a grant application. You're selling the project. You're selling the organization. Okay? And being able to get that across in a clear, concise, compelling, short, succinct manner. Okay? So ideally, we're now looking at online applications, which could be 3,000 characters or 500 words equivalent. I don't basically want fluff. I don't want wordology anymore. I want exactly what it is. So I love a statement, reference with fact. Reference with facts relating to what that body that you're applying to are saying about the sector they're looking to fund, again, whether it be government or private sector. So indicatively read the reports, indicatively read what they're saying on their website, who they've funded in the past, always research previous successful grants, who got what for what, and how much did they get, and looking at collaboration and partnership, which is key to this as well. Certainly a lot of funding bodies don't trust silo applications, and they want to see basically a collaborative process throughout that as well. So we see hundreds of grants announced every day, and there's some recent examples I've just put together as well, and a lot of capital, as you can see there, is being provided. That comes with great expectation, and it comes with strings attached about delivering on those projects basically on time, and that you're a quality application, and you're certainly an organization of worth, and an organization that's worth dealing with at the end of the day, basically. So if you're a smaller organization, it's about increasing capacity, and partnerships and signing memorandums of understanding with other organizations and working across the board. So what's required? Well, the two first bullet points are very particular to grants in Australia at the present time. It's about building capacity. So government equate that if they give you a grant dollar, you turn it into a grant $3. So they want that in-kind, basically, productivity based on their dollar. So every dollar they give, they expect a $3 return. And sustainability, that you're going to be here as an organization to be able to deliver on the project in the time you set out at the end of the day, but also basically that you have sustainability of purpose and sustainability as an organization, that you have a 5-year plan, you know where you're going forward, and you're going forward with me as a funding body at the end of the day. Creating a profile for your business, that's what you're doing. It's a selling document, as I said. It's glorified sales pitch in terms of a grant application. So really there's no perceivable negative in terms of putting a grant application in, unless it's a real haphazard application, because certainly as a grant assessor, if I perceive the application to be sloppy, well, you must be a sloppy organization. But if it's a good application, you're still putting yourself on the radar of the funding body, and they may come back to you and look at alternative ways that you can work together and still succeed in garnering funding off them at the end. Going back to my previous point about perceiving to be sloppy, certainly we have an acronym ourselves. It is the land of acronyms, grants. That we have an acronym as assessors, TMTS. Too much information, we turn off, TF. So don't layer it with everything. I don't need to know everything about your organization. Certainly it's breaking down the question itself into the keywords that are actually being advocated in the question. So the word demonstrate obviously means show, and that means I want a case study. That means indicatively I want to see something basically as an example of how you've been successful in obtaining funding in the past, or how you've been successful in actually delivering on funding in the past at the end of the day. So it's breaking down the question. In fact, there's two places in the grant application form where already they're giving you the answers to the questions. Number one is in the grant itself, why it's being conceptualized and what's there to do, the grant blurb, for want of a better phrase. But most people are in such a rush to get to the application form, they never read it, why it's being conceptualized. And the second place is the grant application form itself. I can't believe I'm still saying this in 2016, but it is as simple as answer the question you're asked, and really is the question itself in the application form and breaking down those questions. And really the key answering of those questions is the key words in the questions themselves. So you answer the question, you get the marks, you get shortlisted at the end of the day. So it's just like an exam paper at high school or university. It's very much common sense at the end of the day. Proactive, not reactive. It's about having a grants calendar. Because of the amount of money we've just talked about indicatively and on the previous slide, the amount of grants that are coming out being announced on a daily basis, and we might see a flurry of activity now coming up because of federal government. They will be announcing grants before the election. It's about being placed and understanding what's coming down the line. So it's having good delegations across those websites like I talked to you previously, but also certainly your local political member. Your local state or federal MP, certainly a lot of them that I've worked with, they put out grants calendars to their local LGAs and to their local electoral areas, and they actually sometimes help you with the application as well. So certainly it's very beneficial to get in touch with your local MP at state and federal level, so you can effectively tell them that you're applying for a certain grant or what grants are out there, or can they help you in any way, shape or form with the grant. We found that office staff of MPs have been fantastically beneficial to a lot of community service organizations in terms of helping them with the grants in that regard. So to reiterate yet again, most importantly, clear, concise, compelling, short, succinct, and to the point. It's now been quantified at a recent poll we went through with grants assessors that Australians have a 30-second attention span. I don't know about that, but it's certainly the attention span certainly of a lot of assessors that I work with, that we do 1 to 3 read-throughs, and the first read-through is a skim read. So unless it's something that really captures our imagination, it really goes already into the maybe pile. And it's something that I want to clearly delineate. I need to understand what the ask is. I need to understand how it correlates to what we want to achieve as a funding body and how you match that at the end of the day. Even before that is eligibility. Unfortunately, we still get a lot of applications coming through that are not even eligible to apply. So please always check your eligibility and you meet that selection criteria at the end of the day. Suitability. Really, this is your mantra. So you can print this out, laminate it, stick it on the fridge. Grant writers should apply for grants that suit particular identified needs, taking into account the time to deliver on the grants if successful, available grantors for the type and purpose, the grantor's requirements, when the funds are needed, and organization's policies. So it's really understanding It's about them at the end of the day. It's about the funding bodies. All right, not to sound callous, it's not necessarily about you. It's basically understanding what they want to achieve with their funding, with their money, in the time period they've set out as well. Okay, so you must count in these factors that I put there in the slide before rationalizing, again, should you move forward with an application at the end of the day. How does your mission align with the funding body's core priorities? What they're trying to achieve is what you're trying to achieve. That's the question I'm going to be asking as a funding body. How do you collaborate with others? At the end of the day, I want to see basically how you're working with others. As I said, don't be a silo. To varying degrees, I want to get great traction on my grant, as I said previously, across a wide demographic and a wide geographic. So who are you working with to make that happen at the end of the day? So you talk about the need for funding, the commercial potential, the value add at the end of the day. What's the niche offering you're providing to me as a funding body that I can't get anywhere else? Certainly if you're in the not-for-profit or community sector, there are 66,000 registered not-for-profits and charities in this country. That means I have 66,000 choices when it comes to getting money. So how do you stand out basically from the pack at the end of the day? So you got to show me the value add. The VFM principle I talked about, which is what's in it for me. The VFM, which is value for money. The market opportunity. A lot of the time they want to leverage off where their brand is going to be. So you got to think about that, what they want to do in terms of, are you willing to leverage off that and have their brand in it? Certainly these grants out there at the moment, an example of such would be Tui's New The Beer, who are going out doing clubhouses for rugby league clubs and cricket clubs and AFL clubs, and leveraging off having the branding all across the clubhouse. And certainly in some instances, putting a bar into the clubhouse, which is great for your underlines cricket team, obviously, when they come in from a hard day's slog on the cricket pitch and put a straw under Tui's Old. But it's not what a lot of clubs want. And a lot of clubs ethically will stay away from that money because it's not best for them. So be very particular in terms of probity, transparency, ethics about is it the right grant for you and your organization at the end of the day, and understanding what they want to do at the end of the day as well. Here's the breakdown for funding in rural, remote, metro city areas. It really still is about 50-50 because as much as government have a concerted effort and focus on regional and rural renewal, there's a lot of, obviously, in fastest growing areas, metro like Western Sydney, where over 2 million people, and certainly there's a concerted focus there for cultural linguistic diversity grants, multicultural grants, and looking at what they can do in metro areas. Saying that, I think the private sector would like to have a more geographic focus, basically, on regional and rural areas. So certainly, if you are in regional and rural areas, I think you'll get great traction from trusts and foundations because they want to get traction. And simply, the law against that, certainly if I'm a bank, is that I'm going to give into areas where I'm opening a branch or where I have a branch. And certainly, a lot of the time, we get applications that are oversubscribed from metro areas. But at the end of the time, we're not getting a lot of applications from rural areas. So certainly, there's an opportunity there for rural areas to be looking at putting in a lot more applications. So know the program rules, know your eligibility, know what is expected of you as an applicant at the end of the day. Plan the application. As I said, I do 4 drafts of any grant application, which means a period of time. Objectively, I get someone, a third party, to read over my own application because I never see my own mistakes. Be creative, honest. Obviously, don't tell them you can do it in 18 months when it's going to take 36 months to do the project. Research successful grants. See who got what for what. Local governments are great at putting up those grants as well. Certainly the private foundations and trusts that are the same as well. Indicatively, they show you who got the money from last year, to what value and for what project, and listen and learn from that. And certainly you're encouraged by the private trusts and foundations to ring them up preceding the grant deadlines and ask them pertinent questions about the application, as well as distinguish that you're going to put in an application and why you're going to put in an application to them. Let them help you get you across the line in terms of the application. Provide information required, so that's no superfluous information at the end of the day. If I want more, I'll come asking for more. Certainly as a funding body, I mean, if you get shortlisted, we're going to Google you. Simply, we're going to look at your website. We're going to look at all the things you're saying and doing and activity-wise. So that's why social media and grants are very particular now. I'm now looking at blogs, podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, websites, basically, and what these organizations are saying and doing and who they're partnering with. Answer the question you're asked, not what you think you're asked, or break down that question. If you still can't understand it, certainly ring, email, or contact the funding body to seek clarification on it. It's now nearly mandated with a lot of government grants as well that you must attend the webinar, and you must, or either attend the face-to-face workshop as well, or else you're exempt from applying. So certainly avail of the opportunity when a webinar comes on board from a government or private sector talking about the grant and enroll in such and participate in such and learn from such. And certainly do the same with the face-to-face component as well. Certainly while the grant is still ongoing as well, look at that live blog that's usually created by a lot of government grants. Look at the Q&A that's coming in and learn from the Q&A that other potential applicants are asking, and look at the answers more pertinently to what government or the private sector is giving them in terms of the responses. You learn from that as well and how they want questions addressed. And as I said, excuse me, no superfluous information. At the end of the day, you got to think about what's relevant for me as an assessor in terms of what do I need to know about this project, your organization, or whether it be financial or delivery-wise, and what's superfluous at the end of the day. And that will only come with practice, and that will only come with drafting of grant applications at the end of the day, that you eradicate superfluous wordology. And that's all it is. It's just blurb and bluff, and it says nothing. There's too many generic terms in the application. I just need something direct and to the point. So it's telling a story, painting a picture with words. That's really what you're doing with your grant application at the end of the day. Don't be there, as I said, at the last minute, 4:55, and pressing the send button before the application is actually due at 5 p.m. and praying to any deity that you know that will get across the line. Please have at least in a week in advance optimally. So that's really where you have to have a concerted focus group in your organization, bringing people together, clear lines of communication, doing drafting, so that applications at least in 7 to 5 days in advance, ideally at the end of the day, and get clarification from that respective funding body that they have received your application as well. So profile, it's about profile, and that's the great thing, as I said, it's a marketing document, a grant application, because at the end of the day, people can only help you if they know you exist. So there is no perceivable negative. You put in a good quality grant application, you're still going on the radar of that funding body, which is integral, obviously, at the end of the day. Other considerations, excuse me. Know the deadline and plan your submission. Get your grant team together. You can't do this on your own, okay? You can't write a whole grant application on your own. You need the IP, you need time, you need resources. You need to be given time to write it by your management team. You need to involve your management team if they want a final consideration of it and look through it. Complete the applications in entirety. I know that may seem obvious, but evidence shows otherwise. We get a lot of haphazard, incomplete applications. We get budgets with no totals. We get no signatures signed off at the end, electronic or otherwise. Please complete in entirety. No gaping holes, as in budgets and spellings. We are pedantic to a degree about grammar, syntax, and punctuation, and our declarative and conditional verbs. So know how to write that professionally, and if that means getting in a consultant to do so, so be the case. Mandatory ineligibility means just that. You have to conduct exactly what I'm obliging you to do. Don't step away from what is mandatory in terms of the funding. And eligibility is the same, obviously, that you're eligible to apply. If you're not, please don't waste your time, and more importantly, don't waste our time as funding bodies by putting in an ineligible application. And apply an evidence-based mantra. Again, that's going back to what I said about statement and basically looking at supporting it with valuable and qualified material. So make a statement, back it up with fact. Reference policy documents from government and from that organization. Lauren, do grant assessors look unfavorably on those who submit grants very close to the deadline? Depends how close, Lauren. At the end of the day, we obviously get a deluge still on the last day. And you see a lot of the time with government grants, basically giving the extended deadline by 72 hours. As much as we advocate to people never to put in the last day, people still do. We are aware of time constraints, and we are aware of people obviously conducting their business operations. But please, if you can make our lives a bit easier at the end of the day, it would be much appreciated that you have it in on time and even before time. And while those grant applications are not due till 5 p.m. on Friday and they won't be open till 9 a.m. on Monday, they are opened in chronological order. So in that regard, obviously, first in, best dressed. The sooner you get it in, the sooner it can be looked at, and that's subliminal marketing on your behalf. So it's very, very important, basically, to get it in so we can give you consideration before anyone else. Questions you need to ask yourself: am I writing more about the project than my organization? So it's about the project, not about your organization. Your organization is obviously there to support the project, but I'm only interested in supporting your project, not your organization necessarily. Am I being specific about the features of my project and the outcomes my project will generate? So government are all about outputs and outcome. They're all about effectiveness and efficiency. They're all about evaluation. So at the end of the day, I want to see that you really discern the values of your project and the outcomes of such. What are the tangible outcomes from that? Am I answering the question? Are you breaking it down, as I said? answering the key components of the question, what you're asked to do. This is the Commonwealth Government Grant Guidelines. It's freely available to download off the web. It's a policy document. It will give you insomnia, by the way, and it's great as a doorstop when you're finished, when you print it out, because it's so big, but it's well worth looking at. And it's indicative of what government wants to see in terms of funding at the end of the day. So certainly if you comply with a lot of what's legislated here, you're going to go a long way in their eyes in terms of the grant application. And they specify it here, as I put down in bullet points, what they want to see in terms of an application. All right, they now do a project milestone appraisal, which means we don't do lump sum funding at a lot anymore. We actually give out money for stage one or project one. Then when that's evaluated, we give you the money for stage two of that said project as well. Okay. Government are big on program logic, and they really want to see basically that the beginnings assumptions are sound and planned work is activities based on those assumptions at the end of the day. Very much baby stepping, thought and processes the whole way through. So at the end of the day, that they understand you have rhyme and reason and rationale to everything you're saying, and you can back it up with evaluation and procedures, and you have a risk management policy that if anything does go wrong, you have mitigating reasoning and be able to help that along the way. So again, it's about having a plan of action at the end of the day. So Liz, you ask, do assessors approve for funding applications as they come? To meet criteria, once the money has been allocated, all the other applications rejected, we review applications, prioritize applications. We do the latter. So we review all applications and then prioritize and shortlist. So everyone gets a sporting chance. Everyone gets an opportunity to be looked at because we want to see a viable application. So we don't want to ostracize that for just by shortlisting straight off the bat. We look at all applications. So in the past, as an assessor, I may have reviewed anything from 50 to 100 applications in a day. And from that, then we'll be shortlisted to the evaluation panel. We'll be shortlisted then. We move forward on a decision from that, but at the end of the day, everyone's looked at and everyone basically gets a favourable opportunity. Relationships, as I said, they're all about working with other connectors. So what they call pillars of the community, where you work with other identifiable organisations, Rotary, Lions, Chambers of Commerce, universities, other business organisations, your governing body, do they auspice the grant on your behalf as well. Internal and external resourcing, that's simply put that do you need a grants writer? In fact, have you asked anyone in your organization who's done technical writing or business writing? If you do need a grants consultant, there's a numerous amount of grants writers out there that can help you professionally with that. And being across local, state, and federal current affairs, knowing what government are saying about funding, knowing what they expect in terms of the grants, and knowing what's available for you, going right back to what I said to reiterate again about having a grants calendar at the end of the day. So simply put, what you've got to evoke in a grants application is who, what, where, when, why, and how. Who are you? What do you do? Where do you do it? When do you do it? Why do you do it? How do you do it? And then the extra why, which I haven't put in there, is why should we give you the money for it? Because as I said, I might necessarily know your organization. If you're a name brand of an organization with great historical value, I probably will. But if you're a smaller organization, I probably won't. So you really got to extenuate that you are an organization that still has the capacity to deliver on that. So starting off the five W's as your premise, basically, for answering the grant application itself. So they're trying to achieve consistency, state and federal government funding. That's where I'm putting the words again, effectiveness and efficiency, what they like to see. They like simplified processes and programs. So they want to see exactly, does exactly what it says in the tin in terms of what you're saying you're mandating as well in terms of your application. Trusted foundations are seeking return investment, given the approximation of the intangibles in community funding. But you definitely have to look at quantifying outputs and outcomes. And I would definitely put that in your answering of your questions, outputs and outcomes that are there for you. Now, this is Tony Blair Sports Foundation, as in the ex-UK PM. This is an infographic, and certainly we like to see this in supplementary information or appendices. And it's a one-stop shop document, which is why it's rather appealing. If you were able to see there in the green, it has two words, monitor and evaluate. And certainly for me, that is a risk mitigation. Certainly it's endearing to me that this organization has thought about monitoring and evaluating everything they do. In the middle, it shows indicatively who they're partnering with, back to collaborations again and partnerships. And in the yellow, it's all the programs they undertake. So it's a one-stop shop diagram that indicatively shows me how they operate as an organizational model. And certainly put something equivalent of your own organization in appendices or in supplementary information, indicatively showing how you have processes, who you partner with, and what activities you conduct. And certainly it's very easy for me to disseminate then that information as an assessor rather than having to write all of that information out for me. So be mindful about using infographics and certainly the other supplementaries, as I said before, like corporate videos, because it's now more au fait to be doing so, certainly in the private sector as well. So carefully follow the instructions. Always tailor your proposal and specific budget request based on research into the funding body's priorities and guidelines. I talked previously about declarative and conditional verbs. What that means essentially is we don't want to hear in an application, if you give us the money, something might happen with it, maybe. We want to hear that you are undertaking a project and you are wanting to partner with someone to do so, and you will undertake the project and you will meet basically the KPIs as you set them out. We want assurances. We want guarantees basically for our investment as a private or public sector funding body. Shorter is better, keep your proposal tight and details condensed. But document the need or problem on multiple levels, but be specific. Don't be generic about the problem, basically, about I want specifics to your area, I want specifics to your demographic, I want tangible outcomes at the end of the day for your service sector, for your research, for your project that you want to undertake, for the bill that you undertake, and the capacity that's going to reach by doing so. So talk about an investment rather than a gift. Very, very important to do that and be explicit in the benefits for the grant provider. What's in it for them? What are they going to get out of this? Not just giving you money and not just getting some media acknowledgement for it. Avoid dwelling on problems. Unfortunately, we still see a lot of grant applications that are talking in the negative rather than the positive. They just focus on the problems rather than the solutions. And at the end of the day, I want you to focus on those opportunities that result from challenges your organization faces. Certainly, you can allude to the problem, but how you're combating that and how you're overcoming that, basically, through adequate funding will address. So show me again how my money is going to be used to best effect. Provide a realistic assessment of the urgency. Okay, we don't do retrospective funding. So if you've already started on the project or basically you've undertaken any component of the project, I'm not going to fund it. So at the end of the day, you must be very realistic about that and be very understanding that you have to wait till the start, because that's where they're interested in jumping in, is at the start and nowhere else in the duration of the project. So this is one of three project plans that I use in conceptualizing a project for grants. So a project title, obviously, again, we're with brevity. Short title, which is less than 10 words. And you can have an acronym again, but obviously explain what the acronym is in the first instance of using it in the grant application. A project summary of up to 100 words that encompasses implementation, risks, timescales, financials, purpose, scope, and people involved. And there lies in your challenge to encompass all of that in 100 words. And that's where drafting comes into it as well, or extrapolating out of your business plan or project plan, which you've already drafted pre-ending the grant itself. The full project description up to 1,000 words, with all the bullet points encompassed in those 1,000 words, with the most important one being down the bottom, the strategic value of the project, you to deliver on, as well as for the funding body to invest in at the end of the day. These are the seven key principles of the Commonwealth Government Grants Administration, different from the document I showed you previously, but what I've highlighted there, you can see how much they love the words effectiveness and efficiency. Okay, so again, put yourself in terms of the mindset of what Commonwealth Government Grants want, and obviously apply against these key principles. Understand these key principles and apply them to your application if you are so applying to Commonwealth Government grants. Now, saying that, they are applicable as well to all tiers of government, and certainly they'll be indicatively applicable to private sector as well. So governance and accountability, probity and transparency, all about having internal controls to manage the money and achieving value with public money, certainly pertinent to the public sector because it's your taxpayers' money coming back to you in the form of a grant, and obviously government has to be particularly ethical about doing so. So again, align yourself with these seven key principles and you'll be doing quite well in terms of your grant application going forward with government at the end of the day. It's about understanding what they want to achieve with public money. This is the IMB Foundation as an example, basically, of a private foundation, as an IMB Community Bank. And there are five key assessment factors. General community support for the project, that the area around you, your geographic and the people that you're serving, your customer base per se, are actually supporting of the project, so you get testimonials from those people supported as such. Research and impact of the project, the reach and impact of the project, I must say. So the traction they're going to get, again, back for value for money and back to wide demographic and geographic. Your capacity and sustainability, back to that word again, sustainability, on delivering the project. Transfer of skills and knowledge, participants and wider community, that obviously when you get the funding, this is going to have a direct correlative effect to someone or some organization, or a knock-on effect, where there's a transfer of skills and knowledge that will improve the situation that you're trying to combat, and innovative qualities. They want an innovative application. They want to see something they haven't funded before, in an area they haven't funded before, and something that has been done completely different that hasn't been done in New South Wales or Queensland or Victoria or anywhere else previously. So it may have been done in WA, it may have been done in New Zealand, but how do you apply it to the model that would be suitable for any of the respective Victorian, New South Wales or Queensland states as an example. So I want to see innovation. I want to see it done differently, because I want to fund different things at the end of the day. This is your top 10. So make it about your reader, your prospective client. Answer the question. Try not to waffle. Make it clear what's in it for them. Be direct in the way you answer the question, direct in your language. Avoid sweeping statements. Give great examples and case studies, indicatively how you've achieved funding in the past, from whom, and how you've expended it. Remember, looks can kill is all about presentation. We do judge the book by the cover. Jog their memory if you've worked with them in the past or achieved funding from them in the past. Give an example of such and remind them of it. And make it word perfect. Count your words and make your words count at the end of the day. All important. So the submission skeleton, to start out with, basically for a grant submission, you're looking at your cover letter, your title page. Now this can be an internal document, obviously, because this isn't necessarily applicable anymore. We don't do hard copy. But it's really for yourself to lay out what I need to do in terms of building my grant application and adapting this wording that you've used in covering these bullet points here and adapting them into the grant application itself. So having a cover letter, introducing yourself as an organization, your title page, your summary, your need statement or assessment of, as to why you need funding, response to all selection criteria, the outcomes of your project, the economic benefit, the knock-on value, the article attachment statistics, which goes into appendices, but again would be infographics, or your corporate video, and of course, most importantly, your budget at the end of the day. And we don't want to see any padding out on budgets or artificial budgetary inflation. So I want all quotes in there. I want a couple of quotes, ideally, at the end of the day. I want exact figures. I don't need rounded out figures at the end of the day in terms of my budget. And I want you to factor in salary increases, obviously, if you're applying for project costs and project management costs, and factor in inflation as well in the budget, obviously, because you're not going to get the money tomorrow in terms of the grant. It may be up to a couple of months before you actually apply for the grant. This is a great extract from the Company Director article in June 2015, that it's important to view grants from a business perspective. If you think about it in terms of helping to solve a problem for government, that will change the way you apply for funding. So going back to time and capacity again, it's very much that you're able to deliver on them for the issues that they'd like to do themselves, but they need to outsource it. They want to outsource it to a viable and valuable entity and provide funding for them at the end of the day, so give them the opportunity to get the money off them. So checklist, plan your submission, develop your submission, look at your language and writing style, the economic benefits and merit criteria for the organization that's giving you the money. Are they seeing economic benefits? Are they seeing merit in your application? Is seeing merit in working with you, and most importantly, giving you the money. And there's collaboration and successful project examples there. I need case studies. I need examples of how good you are at what you do at the end of the day, so I can trust you with my money. And that's me. I'll start it off by saying, how many of you have applied successfully for a grant application? So in terms of a grant application, then, is anyone any questions in terms that they want to ask themselves, particular to your own grant applications, or particular in general to your grant application? What's the hardest thing about writing a grant application for yourselves as an organization or individual? So Lauren asked, does that mean that the grant assessment committee begins the shortlist before the grant deadlines are reached? No, Lauren, that basically the deadline's reached, we receive all applications, and we obviously look at all applications then as they come in. Lauren again asked, just wondering, collaborative grants are looked upon more favourably? Yeah, they are. Certainly collaboration is a key component now for government. They feel they get wider traction for it if they are able to collaborate with other organisations, both increasing capacity to deliver on the grant and obviously completing it in a wider area potentially as well. Like I said before, wider geographic, wider demographic. So certainly collaborations are key to this process as well. So indicatively, yeah, I'd be looking to go out and source applications that are collaborative in nature. So Kerry asked, from a government department, we have to partner for state grants. Is that the same for federal? It's really on a case-by-case basis, Kerry. It's all grants are on a case-by-case basis, so I'd have to look at the grant particularly you're referencing to, but not necessarily. No, I wouldn't say so indicatively, but it's again, it's about the value add that you're going to apply. So you may want to look at or advocate the partnership if it's not there, but again, weigh that up and see what's the best outcome for you in that equation as well, and what would be apt for you to in moving forward, but certainly ask the question of them at least if it's not specified. What's the best way to find out what grants are available, e.g. educational? Thanks for asking that question there, Vicky. Vicky, basically, you're looking at a number of grants websites that are out there. Obviously, I said before, whether it be our community, whether it be basically Philanthropy Australia, Pro Bono Australia, you have a number of private service providers like Strategic Grants out of Brisbane who do grants calendars for you as well, the Grants Guru. Certainly, I write a lot on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter myself of what grants are available out there, so feel free to follow me in that regard. Various resource grants link, obviously, which is government, which is at federal government level, and then obviously the Department of Education themselves and private trusts and foundations, really be a number of them as well, but they'd be listed through those philanthropic resources. Our community charge not-for-profits, I think it's, I believe, $75 to get a monthly calendar of actually all grants that are available at the end of the day. Some would be educational, some would be all-purpose, whether it be agriculture or community or the arts, as the case may be. So certainly look at that resource as well at the end of the day. Yes, Sue, some online grants don't allow for graphics or attachment. Any tips in that regard? Certainly, yeah. Having a chat, if you can, with the funding body and see whether they take supplementary information as PDFs or Word documents or, as I said, infographics or actually corporate videos. Again, what they're not asking for is purely because they want a straightforward, matter-of-fact application, and if it gets shortlisted, they'll come back and ask for supplementary information in that regard. So that's probably why they're not asking for it at the end of the day. But have it available. At the end of the day, they're useful marketing tools to use outside of the grants process anyway, so it's something you can avail of as an organization or as an individual anyway. Good question from Diana there. How do we qualify outcomes? We were the first to offer this type of education. You've got to benchmark it against something, and you're right, Diana, that's quite hard. There's a catch-22 there, isn't it, if you're the first cab off the rank. So certainly you really need to look at, is there any other international benchmarks or any interstate benchmarks? Is there any previous programs? Again, indicatively, you show me that you can give me historical value to the programs you rolled out previously. Not correlating to what you're looking for now, but certainly indicatively showing me that you have the capacity to deliver on these programs from the outset, from the start, that are new, innovative, different at the end of the day. So as long as you benchmark them against that or a program of similar ilk or worth or value that's been replicated somewhere else, utilize, don't plagiarize, find an equivocal program and show the values that you can bring as a serviceable organization in bestowing that program to the area you operate in. George asked, what impact does an unfavorable annual report have on grants? Look, it'll have an unfavorable reaction, to be honest with you, George. At the end of the day, look, it's about investing. It's like me asking you for $20. At the end of the day, I'm going to be asking you how you're spending $20 and when am I getting my $20 back or bang for buck at the end of the day. So really, you got to be financially sustainable and financially viable. And I've got to be looking at the opportunities for me to invest in you. And if it's unfavorable, whether there's been some misappropriations or there's some delicate circumstances that are happening, politics or personalities in terms of the organization, I'm not really going to entertain that, and I'm certainly going to step away from potentially investing in an organization like that. So certainly look at consolidating yourself as an organization first, George, or as an individual, getting the house in order, and certainly then look at applying from there, because unfortunately at that stage with an unfavorable annual report, you would be at a distinct disadvantage. And really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today, and thank you to ALA for coordinating this as well and facilitating. Thanks, Liz, for everything.